Introduce yourself, please.
Jim Denning, Kansas State Senate, District 8, which is Overland Park.
Great to have you here. Let's hear the open. This is Statehouse Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go.
And joining Jim and me today in the KCUR 89.3 production studio is Tom Bell, president of the Kansas Hospital Association. Tom, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And my friend and colleague, Jim McLean, who runs the KHI News Service in Topeka, also a Heartland Health Monitor reporting partner with us here at KCUR. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
You bet, Sam.
Now, generally, Statehouse Blend is a little bit of a free-flowing, what are we going to talk about next? I'm not always sure sort of a show, but today we want to focus at least at the beginning of the program, at the beginning of the podcast, on Medicaid expansion. And before we get to that, though, my two favorite questions for our special guest. Tell me about your kids and your pets and how you got into politics.
Kids first. We have two daughters. One lives in Chicago. One lives in Wisconsin. One has two kids. One has three kids. So we have five grandchildren.
And a lot of parkas, I suspect, in the family?
Yes. Okay. And we were up in Wisconsin last Monday for the Chiefs game. My wife is a big Packers fan, so she had a great night. I had an awful night. Pets. We normally have cats because we travel. We haven't owned a personal cat for several years, but there's a cat in the neighborhood that has been living off and on with us for 22 years, and we've named him Hobo. So that's our pet. And
how'd you get into politics?
Politics. Very long story. My brother is sheriff of Johnson County, and when he decided to run in 2004, obviously I wanted to help him get elected, and my wife Merrill got the political bug and ran his campaign, and Frank's won two or three elections, and he's currently still the sheriff. So Merrill loves politics, and the reason why I got into politics is I work in healthcare, and I have been in the business for about a quarter of a century. And starting in 1986, I could tell that the fees were being reduced and was being more about politics than patient care way back then. So I've always paid attention to politics from that side. And then when I decided to retire early, I was still interested in really advocating for private physicians. There, you don't see hardly anybody advocating for the private sector physicians and professionals. So I had the time and interest to do that. So that's really what got me to Topeka. And obviously Merrill ran my political campaign, so it was a sure thing that I would get elected.
Well, Sam, don't you think we can sympathize with Senator Denning and his long night in Wisconsin with the Packers, because you and I are KU Jayhawk fans.
There's a lot of suffering that goes on in those northern climes. I want to start with we want to kind of focus in on Medicaid expansion. And Jim, I want to start with you.
Okay.
Just give me a quick overview of what it is. And I know it's been going on for 3 years now, but a little bit about where the debate has been in Kansas and where it is right now.
Well, I should say that in a formal sense, there hasn't been a lot of debate about Medicaid expansion, first of all. There was a hearing last session. It was the first hearing before one of the health committees on the issue. But it is the issue is just what it would seem like from the term Medicaid expansion, and it is connected to the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act authorized an expansion, a fairly substantial expansion of Medicaid, mostly for adults, low-income adults who currently in most states aren't covered by Medicaid. A lot of people don't understand that. So, and the federal government, the law obligated the federal government to pay 100% of expansion costs for the first 3 years. It then ratchets down over time and then reaches a floor of 90% after that. And, you know, the country is split. 30-some states have expanded their Medicaid programs. The others have not. Kansas is one of those that has not. Missouri also has not expanded the Medicaid program. And we're starting to see, in the Census Bureau statistics that just came out, we're starting to see the differences between the states that have and haven't. The uninsured rate has declined pretty substantially across the country in all states, including Kansas, but more so in states that have expanded their Medicaid programs than not. But again, it's a very controversial issue, I think in large part because it's directly tied to the Affordable Care Act. I should say that as originally written, the law essentially required states to expand Medicaid. And then in the Supreme Court decision that otherwise ratified the law, the justices said that that portion of the law that required the states to expand Medicaid or face consequences was onerous, and they threw that part of the law out. So that's what made it voluntary for the states.
And by formal debate, you mean there hasn't been a lot of committee work, formal
in
the state house, but there's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of
association, and they've tried to generate a discussion for 3 years, but there just there hasn't in the state house itself. It just hasn't gotten any traction.
All right, let's go back around the table here, and I want to go with Tom Bell and think and ask you for your thought or your question for Senator Denning here.
Well, a couple of thoughts, I guess. Number one, you're right. Senator Denning has had a long history in the healthcare system, and I think he touched on exactly the issues that a lot of people are concerned about, and that is that there's too much politics involved in healthcare and not enough focus on the patient. And we see Senator Denning as a critical person in this debate. He understands healthcare. He's well respected in the Senate and the entire Capitol building, and someone I think pivotal as this issue moves forward. I'd ask the senator, I think, what as that person. Who understands the politics and the issue, where does he see the issue right now? How does he see the issue potentially moving forward?
Yeah, I knew this question was coming. That's why I hesitated before coming on. But the Medicaid expansion debate, I don't look for it to get any legs this year for several reasons. One, from the political standpoint, a lot of folks in my caucus think it's an expansion of welfare, and the federal government controls the rules on the expansion. So right now, obviously, they don't allow any co-pays. It's free. You know, and Jim mentioned that states that expanded Medicaid have seen a reduction in the uninsured. Well, of course they have because it's free. So everybody that is 138% or below of the poverty level, they're getting signed up through the navigator. So that's a no-brainer that the uninsured rate's falling.
Yeah, I mean, navigators are those folks who help people sign up for Obamacare.
Get onto the exchange and sign folks up for both commercial and Medicaid. But and Tom may be able to talk more about this, but anecdotally, we see no effect from the Obamacare ACA exchanges as far as we don't see any effect in the private sector about those folks now that they have insurance through the exchange. We're not seeing it in the practice. We're thinking that most already had insurance and now they're getting a subsidy. I'm sure there's some 50 to 64-year-olds that had trouble with their pre-existing conditions that have the ACA insurance through the exchange. But in the private sector, we're not even able to measure it. And when I look at some of the hospital data, it doesn't look like it's having much of an effect on them either. But certainly the Medicaid, the states that have expanded, of course the uninsured rate has gone down because it's free.
Jim, I saw you lean forward, but just before you do, let me just follow up one quick thing. You said there were members in your caucus who consider this an expansion of welfare. Do you think that?
Well, certainly, yes, it certainly is. You know, and again, I haven't dug deep into the reports, but I think 50% of the expanded population are single adults with no children that are able to work, but don't. So that's the segment that we're looking at expanding. And I think when you start going down that path of giving free insurance, it is certainly an expansion of welfare. Now, there's a segment of the population that I'm sure does work, and you know the exchanges. I think if you work 35 hours a week at a minimum wage job, that you can qualify for a silver plan on the exchange and have health care with very little out of pocket. So it's not like there aren't options. And I think there's I don't think the federal government allows any work related training to keep your Medicaid qualification. So lots of issues from from the Republican side of the aisle that lots of headwinds.
Jim.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, I want to separate for the listeners the issue of Medicaid expansion versus the exchanges. They're two kind of separate things. I mean, obviously they're related, but just to put some numbers out there, right now there are about 425,000 people enrolled in the Kansas Medicaid program called CanCare, and most of them are young mothers, women, and children, and then, of course, the elderly and disabled, physically and developmentally disabled.
Let me just jump in and just quickly make the distinction, one of you, between Medicaid and Medicare, because we—
Medicaid is the health care program for low-income people and the disabled. Right. Medicare is the program for people 65 and older, two separate federal programs. But because Senator Denning's right, I mean, I think he's identified some of the issues here. So the people who are not in the Medicaid program, most people don't really understand this. If you are an adult and you don't have children, you are not eligible no matter what. If you are an adult with young children, a caregiver adult, you are eligible for Medicaid, but only if you earn less than 33% of the federal poverty line. And that's $7,870 for a family of four, just to put it in perspective. Now, 138% of poverty, which is what Senator Denning alluded to, under Medicaid expansion, people who earn up to that much would then be eligible for Medicaid. And that's $16,000 for an individual and $32,000, roughly $33,000 for a family of four. That would be the eligibility threshold if we expanded. One more point, just again to create some context here, because Senator Denning talked a lot about in the exchanges and Obamacare and versus Medicaid expansion, and he's right. If you earn 100% of poverty or more, you are eligible for subsidies, tax credits, to help you buy private coverage. The problem is there are about 70,000 people in Kansas who are in what we call a gap, who don't make 100% of poverty. They make somewhere between that 33 and 100. So they don't have options under Obamacare other than Medicaid expansion. And he's right. I think one of the big issues is these are, generally speaking, single adults who are, quote unquote, able-bodied, who could work. And I think that's one of the big issues is whether or not the state owes coverage to people who, in the eyes of some, aren't pulling their own weight. I think that's one of the issues.
Tom Bell, what do your members think about that?
Well, let me make just a couple of points. Number one, Senator Denning, thank you for sitting here and being grilled on this because it is. I think.
I just want to point out though, there is coffee and donuts to go along with the grilling. So I think that softens whatever we're talking about here.
I do think it's an issue that the more you look at the facts, the more it is difficult to ask to answer the question why we are not having a serious discussion in our state along the lines of what Jim was talking about. Just a couple of quick points. Senator Denning talked about this being free. It's not free. It's paid for by the taxpayers. And what's happening right now is that our folks in Kansas are essentially paying for health insurance for people in places like California and New York and other places. And I think one of the things we feel strongly about is that Kansas ought to bring some of that money back to the state and get our fair share, so to speak. And I think Senator Denning is right, this question about this group of people who it's popular to say they're able-bodied and they're not working. But I think the facts are that most of the people in that category actually are working. They may not have full-time jobs,
right,
but they're probably, single mothers working part-time, things like that. So it's a complicated question. I completely understand that. But that's why I think we want a and a serious examination of it.
Yeah, Tom, I do, and I want to give you a chance to respond here, but I do want to hear what you have to say about what you and your members think about, because there must be some people, able-bodied adults who are not working, that would be covered. And is your position that, well, you know what, we owe everybody coverage because it's a community good?
Well, everybody has coverage right now. If you show up at the hospital emergency room, you get taken care of.
That's not the best way to go. So
exactly.
So
I think
I'm going back to
and hospitals also that don't get compensated for that.
And I think from our perspective, if we're going to have a situation where we're going to make sure everybody gets covered, let's put it in a little bit more organized system like CanCare is.
And part of the deal, Sam, is with this whole big complicated Affordable Care Act, is some of the money that hospitals got, what they call disproportionate share payments. Right. To compensate them for that quote-unquote uncompensated care when somebody showed up at the emergency room, where they're pulling that money back.
Right. Going away.
In anticipation. Well, it's not going away, but in anticipation that Medicaid would have been expanded. So as it stands in Kansas, the hospitals are taking reductions in their Medicare payments. They're losing disproportionate share money, and yet the potential offsetting revenue that would come out of Medicaid expansion is not there. And we've seen one hospital in southeast Kansas close, again, to be very clear, not specifically or only because of the Medicaid expansion hasn't taken place. There were lots of things going on, but that was certainly one of the reasons cited by the hospital officials, the hospital in Independence, Kansas, that they said led to the closure.
Yeah, Jim Denning, your thoughts on, it was Mercy Hospital, correct, in Independence, Kansas? I'm right
That's
about
correct,
that?
Yes,
yeah. They certainly cited the lack of Medicaid expansion as one factor. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly if I think that hospital said that they would bring in $1.6 million if Kansas had, on an annual basis, if Kansas would have expanded Medicaid for them, but that wouldn't have saved that hospital. The issue, again, we probably need some rural legislators on the program to talk about that, but there's 105 counties in Kansas, and I think 75 lose population for the last 70 years. That's the issue. Everybody, farms are very productive, and everybody's coming to the urban centers for work, and it's been going on since the mid-20s. So all rural states have that issue. And when you're in an environment where your population decreases year over year, it's a tough nut to solve. It's like when you're selling cans of green beans and you sell 10 this week, 9 next week, there's going to come a point where you're not going to be selling green beans. So I think that county has 35,000 in population. Independence only had 10,000. The population wasn't there to support a hospital with that big footprint. So it is an issue. I think it goes beyond the discussion of Medicaid expansion. I think the rural hospitals and certainly the critical access hospitals, the feds at one time supported that model, and from an outsider looking in, it doesn't look like they support that model any longer and almost want it to go away or consolidate up. So really big issue. It's a rural issue. It needs to be solved by the rural legislators and the rural communities. Expanding Medicaid would not have saved that hospital. And, there's a few other ones that I understand that are struggling. And, again, it needs to be solved at the state, local level.
And I want to get to Jim McLean again in just a second, but I just want to follow up on something that Tom said, and that is, why don't we have a complete and vigorous debate in the State House over this?
Yeah.
And while you're answering that question, I'm going to ask Tom to pour me some more coffee, if you wouldn't mind. Right there. Here we go.
Again, it's the political element. The caucus doesn't want to have the discussion. They have no interest in expanding Medicaid, and the committee chairs control that discussion. And the committees that have the clout to do it have no interest in having those discussions. And until that changes, it's going to be really hard to have the discussion. I think as the years go on, the discussion will happen. I think once January 1st of 17 gets here, and you can then all the states that have expanded can understand just how expensive that is going to be for them. I think that's when the real discussion will start. the states that have expanded Medicaid, when they come back to work in January of 16, I'm pretty sure they're going to have to appropriate for the first 6 months of the Medicaid expansion cost. And that's when everybody's going to know that it's, A, very expensive, it's going to crowd out their budgets. And I think once that happens, then I think the discussion will happen in Kansas. But you see all this modeling of how expensive it's going to be. I've seen it from $50 million all the way up to $500 million a year. So I don't know what the number is, but I think once we actually see the number from the states that have expanded, then we can have a discussion here in Kansas. Circling back around to, you know, the Obamacare ACA exchanges, you see it across the board that the rates are up about 23% this year. And that population that the exchange is serving is very similar to the population that the expansion is serving. So you can see a 20 to 23% increase in cost year over year over year. States as small as Kansas, and we'll probably talk about this later in the show, but having a 3.5% or 4% increase in tax collections on an annual basis, that's pretty robust. And then you have Medicaid, which is the second most expensive piece on your expense statement, growing at 20 and 23%, something has to crowd out. So, you know, that's why I've always been really hesitant about having the Medicaid expansion discussion, because I don't think anybody knows what the cost is. And then I have, you know, I think expanding Medicaid in a fee-for-service environment is a non-starter from the very beginning. So if we have a Medicaid expansion discussion, it has to be delivered, especially in the four counties that have most of the humans. It has to be delivered in a non-fee-for-service. If you go like we do now in Medicare, it's impossible. You know, Medicare loses like $50 million a day that the government has to print money to pay for that program. States don't print or borrow money, so we have to be really careful. When we turn that trigger on, it could crowd out everything. It could crowd out schools, corrections. Again, a small state like Kansas in a non-recessionary period can grow their tax collections 3.5% to 4.5%. And you have a big program like that in a fee-for-service just gobbling up money. It needs some serious thought from just turning it on. The folks that are so outwardly supportive of Medicaid expansion never vote for the budget. So there's a disconnect right there. It's easy to say, let's expand and spend $50 or $100 million a year, but they have no intention of voting for the budget. It doesn't work.
I see both Tom and Jim scribbling furiously. And so I demand to know, Tom Bell, what you're
we're
writing.
We're having a debate here that we haven't had. No one says you're not taking
exactly
notes.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Tom. What are you writing down there? Something you want to say, I can tell.
Sure. Number one, I appreciate what Senator Denning said about this idea of, he said it in a different way, but the idea that the system is moving from payment for volume toward payment for value. And that's happening. It's going to continue to happen. It doesn't make any difference who's the governor or the president. It's going to continue to happen. And I would submit that our CanCare program, at least the principles underlying it, are a pretty good model for making that shift. And one of the differences in our state is that we have already reformed our Medicaid program. CanCare is our reformed Medicaid program. It's not working as well as we'd like it to, but the model itself is something that I think
you should explain for listeners.
We
privatized our Medicaid
system.
Three private managed care organizations run the Medicaid program in Kansas now.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And Senator Denning, again, I appreciate the fact that he thinks we'll have this discussion in 2017. And I think our only difference is we think we ought to have it now. We think there is evidence from other states who are coming online one after another. As Jim said, there's over 30 states now. And in general, What we see is those states saying this has actually been helpful to our budgets because we've been able to take some programs that have been funded only by state funds and put them into this new federal program. I'm not saying the evidence is all out there, but I think it would be good to have that discussion right now. Not here in this room, but in Topeka.
But I do think I should defer to Tom and Sam. You should let him talk about this because the Hospital Association and others who are advocating for expansion know that just straight expansion isn't going to fly in Kansas. And so they're looking at some of the states, so-called, quote-unquote, red states, Indiana, one of them,
right. Some
others that have done it in a way that Senator Denning talked about, kind of made it state-specific. Now, Pennsylvania tried to get a work requirement in their expansion plan, and the federal government said no to that. But I think what Tom and the Hospital Association want to talk about is a Kansas, something that builds on the CanCare system. And you all done, I don't know how many studies, and I don't know, Senator Denning may have a disagreement with this, but I mean, you guys have essentially said that expansion would more than pay for itself, haven't
we
you?
We think you can, we have made that argument. We think the states that are coming online show that that's possible, and we've even got more updated information, I think, that shows that it's at least worth taking a look at some of those programs, like, you know, how much of the prison Medicaid payments can we move into this, or the prison payments can we move into this new program, mental health, medically needy. There's a number of those sorts of things. And as Jim said, yes, the red states that have looked at Medicaid expansion have tended to move toward things that include maybe some cost sharing,
right?
Maybe some incentives for healthy behaviors, a real interest in a work requirement, which the feds have been reluctant to approve and have said, no, we won't. But I think the other thing that's at play here that we need to be mindful of is that we have a new Secretary of HHS who, by all accounts, has indicated much more flexibility than in the past. And as a matter of fact, just apparently this week met with the governor of South Dakota about an innovative plan that he's looking at. So I know I've thrown a lot of things in there, but I think our point is that we ought to be having this discussion right now.
Yeah, well, I think not only the Kansas Hospital Association, Missouri Hospital Association did a similar study saying that Medicaid expansion would, in fact, boost the economy, would in fact, relieve the state of some mental health coverage they pay for now for prison inmates. So how come the economic argument doesn't resonate with you and your colleagues?
Yeah, just circling back around to the expense side, again, all the reports show between at a minimum of $50 million a year all the way up to $500 million a year. It's probably around 100, 125 when the smoke settles. $125 million annually, growing at 20%. That's a big budget item. So, when we do have the discussion on expanding Medicaid, if Kansas ever decides to do it, it will be a Kansas plan. Like Tom was mentioning, the red states have their own waivers, and which is a deviation from the normal plan. You know, I'm hoping that when we do have the discussion, it'll be big items. You know, like the Arkansas plan got so much play early on. It didn't take much analysis to know that thing was going to crash and burn. So you don't hardly hear any of the Medicaid expanders talking about the Arkansas plan because it's fixing to hit the wall. But, you know, to get me not excited about expanding Medicaid, but to get me engaged in a real discussion, I'd want, you know, Medicaid's made up of the doctor hospital component, and then it's made up of the waiver component, which has our DD population, our developmentally disabled population in it, and many other segments like that. And then it has a nursing home population. So it has like three big silos. And how the federal government set it up is they're the managing partner of every silo. So they pay 60% of the cost, Kansas pays 40%, and it varies, but we're the minority partner, so we're always on the short end of the stick. And What I would like to see is if the total nut of the Medicaid program, including state and federal funds, is $3 billion, I'd want Kansas to say, we'll take the DD population and we'll take the nursing home population and we'll cover 100% of the cost. We just want you feds out of our hair. And you take the medical surgical piece and just knock yourself out. And then Kansas has total responsibility and we take total accountability for one silo and don't take any federal money. And then the feds take care of Tom's hospitals and doctors. Something like that. When I mention it to Dr. Moser, she's saying, well, there's no way in hell that they will entertain it. Well, you got to ask, because that's something that really makes a lot of sense to me. If you can get the feds out of our hair and we take the responsibility, it makes perfect sense. Non-fee-for-service, it's a non-starter for me personally to roll this thing out into a fee-for-service. I just can't get there. It'd be a death march.
All right, we need to wrap it up here, but I want to take one more trip around the table. Jim McLean, your final thought or question for Jim Denning.
Well, one thing we didn't have a chance to talk to Senator Denning about, and he's been very involved in this, is the state's economic situation. And I think he didn't mention it, but clearly, as we talk about Medicaid expansion, the state's revenue and budget situation has to factor in as well. The other day, we heard again that the revenue coming into the state treasury was short of projections. And so heading into next session, it looks like we might be facing another deficit situation, which, again, will factor into this debate as well.
$32 million, short of projections in last month. So we were talking before we entered the studio, and you have some concerns about what the legislature is going to have to deal with when they come back in January.
Yeah, there's no doubt that we still haven't stabilized the tax collection revenue cycle. We've made massive tax policy changes starting in 12, and we made big ones last year. The biggest tax cut in Kansas history, followed by the biggest tax increase in Kansas history. Probably when you put those two together, we've still cut taxes. So we did a big tax cut to the citizens of Kansas, obviously went too deep. The economy in the U.S., everybody in the world now, it's very sluggish, and we've never recovered like we normally do coming out of a deep recession following the 07 to 09 deep recession. The economy's not acting normally, and worldwide it's not acting normally either. So right now, we were $67 million below estimates for the first 3 months of the fiscal year. That's a big number, very concerning to me. If I did a calculation on a back of an envelope today, I would say Kansas has between $13 and $20 million in its checking account. It's a $14 billion budget, $20 million in working capital. It's very, very disturbing to me. I think the governor's going to have to come in before the end of the year. If these trends continue next month, we could have a zero balance in the checking account, and that will, by statute, trigger the governor to cut. And I'm sure KDOT, which is the Department of Transportation, will get more money swiped from them. But they're only about $90 million left that we could take from them. So I don't know where the governor's going to go. He owns the tax plan now. I voted for the tax plan, totally supported it, wanted to make a loophole fix last year with that LLC pass-through. It's about $200 million. It's not producing what I thought it would produce, and I consider it a loophole, wanted to close it. The governor said anybody that touches it, he'll veto the bill. So I'm sure that will come back next year. It is a loophole. It wouldn't be a tax increase if we did touch it. So something's going to have to give next year. The legislation we passed does not allow him to cut the K through 12 block grant. So once he goes to KDOT, I don't know where he goes from there. But it is going to be front and center next year, right along with school finance. And we have got to stabilize the tax collection cycle. The trains need to run on time, and coming back year over year, that dog's just not going to hunt anymore. I think the legislators, me included, very fatigued from it. I want to fix it, and I don't want to mess around with these little Band-Aids that we were forced to do last year. So I'm ready to do whatever's necessary to stabilize the tax collection revenue cycle, keep the footprint small as far as government expansion, but we've got to get our financial house in order.
All right. Tom Bell, your final thought or question for Jim Denning?
Just a couple of quick thoughts. Obviously, the budget is a huge issue, and I think from our perspective, that's one reason we ought to be looking at whether there are programs funded by the state now that could be put into this expansion program. But I want to agree with a concept that Senator Denning put on the table. I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with this specific type of program that you suggested, but this idea that we go to Washington with something innovative and say this is our plan, the history of federal and state relationships is the states taking the rules that the feds lay out there and figuring out innovative ways to deal with them. And I think from our perspective, this is a perfect example of let's put a Kansas plan together and go to the federal government and say this is what we want and start negotiating.
All right, we have to leave it there. Tom Bell from the Kansas Hospital Association, thanks a lot for coming over. My colleague and friend Jim McLean from the KHI News Service, thank you for being here.
It was a good discussion, Sam. Way to go.
Thanks very much. That's why I'm making the big money here. Jim Denning, to get to know you just a little bit better, we end the show the same way every week. We ask for your favorite song. What are we going to walk out with?
Well, given the late hours and short nights that are coming up, I was thinking about this on the way in, actually. Jackson Browne, Running on Empty.
That couldn't be more perfect. That couldn't be more perfect. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Find us over there at kcur.org/statehouseblend. Have you gone over to kcur.org lately and seen the new logo? I think it's pretty handsome myself. And our friends down the hall up to date make a little room for us on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Want to join us here on the podcast? We love hearing from citizens. Not that Tom Bell is not a citizen, but he's a little bit more of an official. And if you want to be in here in the KCUR production studio with us, you can email me. I'm at sam@kcur.org. Also, you can follow me on the Twitter. I will give you your fill of education news. I'm at Sam Zeff, and you can follow my co-host, Brian Ellison. He's at PTS Brian. Thanks a lot. There's Jackson Browne. We'll see you next time.